Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Alaska Associated General Contractors Build Alaska podcast. Honored to be joined today by Adam Ferguson, who is the apprenticeship coordinator for the Operating Engineers Union Local 302 here in Alaska. How are you doing today, Adam?
Terrific. Appreciate you having me, Bronson.
Thanks for making some time to chat with us. Really excited to talk more about the apprenticeship program at the Operating Engineers. So before we go any further, what is an operating engineer? Just to make sure everybody out there listening knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, great question. It can be kind of confusing, and there are actually several different classifications that we work under. But generally speaking, we train and put to work heavy equipment operators and heavy equipment mechanics.
Okay. Bulldozers, road graders, cranes, that type of stuff?
Yep, absolutely. And so, the list goes on and on.
Sure. So heavy stuff. Tonka trucks. Is that a way? You played with those. That's what you're doing in real life.
When you come to work with us, you are now in the big kid sandbox. You're absolutely correct.
Awesome. That is always secretly one of my, one of the coolest jobs out there. So how about yourself? Where are you from? I would like to learn a little about you and your background, then we'll get into the program that you help coordinate now.
Yeah, thanks. So I actually grew up in Washington State, and like a lot of others, just was dying to see Alaska. Came up in 1999 and was kind of doing school and trying to get through school and found myself a job working on a rock crusher in Juneau for a union contractor, and that was my first exposure to the operating engineers and what their guys did. And ultimately, I applied to get into the apprenticeship that I now help manage when I learned that my social sciences degree wasn't necessarily going to help in feeding my young family. And so I entered that apprenticeship program in 2002. And it took me about 3 years to complete it, become a journeyman, at which point I started working on all kinds of projects throughout the state of Alaska, anywhere from southeast down in Juneau all the way up to Prudhoe Bay. So that's kind of my background. In 2010, I was invited to come on board with our training center in Palmer and taught health and safety classes for several years and then transitioned into the coordinator position.
Wow, right on. So most of your adult life and career is an operator here in Alaska then?
Yep, absolutely. It's what my life has been up to this point, I guess.
It sounds like you got to see all of Alaska too, from southeast to the slope and then now here.
Yeah, a fair bit. There's definitely people out there that have seen more. I never did a lot of work in western Alaska, but I got to see my fair share.
So looking back on your career, what is some of your favorite experiences working in the field as a heavy equipment operator?
Oh, wow. So I started out as a rock driller in Juneau, as I think I mentioned, and coming into the union then and looking for kind of my own niche in the market, I was introduced to big drilling rigs in Prudhoe Bay. And that was probably my favorite thing. That became my forte, is I would run large rotary drill rigs.
Wow.
And on average, we were putting 24 to 48 inch diameter holes in the ground, 27 to 34 feet down, and if I had a good oiler working with me, we could do a hole in 3.5 minutes. And
wow.
So it was all about production and making the contractor money and being efficient at what you did and doing it safely. But we could put 80 holes in the ground a day, and everybody was happy with that. And I really enjoyed it because it was production oriented.
Yeah.
And you got to go. And
that was
one of my favorites.
That's really fascinating. Honestly, I had no idea that they put that many holes in the ground each day. I guess I didn't realize they kept poking holes in the ground. I kind of had a vision in my head of one giant hole. But
yeah, no, you just kind of keep going, especially when you've got large infrastructure that's being rebuilt. If they're putting in new pipe, replace old pipe, a lot
okay.
of times they've got to put in new VSMs and horizontal support members to do so. And the other neat thing about it is it's all about being a team. So my oilers were generally apprentices, and it took having an efficient, hardworking apprentice to make me look good. And when they made me look good, because we got a lot of holes in the ground by the end of the day, then I would try to return the favor and keep those guys busy and help them be successful in their paths.
So what are some things that you've learned in your experiences in the field running equipment in those type of situations?
Things that I've learned. Well, this day and age, I think we all know how important safety is. It sounds cliche, but that is definitely number one. Mm-hmm. But additionally, you have to be a hard worker. There is really no substitute for work ethic. I don't want this to sound wrong, but what I tell people is we're not necessarily always getting paid because we're the smartest guys in the room, right? We weren't necessarily the best students. We weren't necessarily going to be the ones that turned into doctors and lawyers. But if you can work harder than the guy next to you, you're going to be successful. You're going to make a lot of money. And you can go a long ways with that. But you got to be able to combine that with safety, of course. Because if somebody gets hurt, you've just eliminated the profit margin.
Right.
You've just taken the guy off the job. He's no longer providing for his family, or she's no longer providing for her family. So that's kind of the two-part equation there that I think is important. And honestly, it took me being out in the field to recognize that. I didn't initially, as a young guy, I didn't understand the safety factor. I just thought, hey, if I work harder than the next guy, mm-hmm. I can show him what it's all about. But it's multifaceted.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had an interesting conversation with a construction employer recently, and we were talking about labor costs. And I said, what's the most important thing to you when it comes to calculating your labor costs? And he said, safety. Because there's nothing that will make your labor costs skyrocket more than an injury at work. If you calculate everything into the equation, that's what will really kill. Like you said, it sucks. There goes your profit instantly.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lost time injury. So having a workforce that is has an emphasis on training, but has been on safety, but has been trained how to do the job efficiently and safely.
Absolutely.
And that's where you get that production. So we've got teamwork, safety, a work ethic, and a good attitude, and that'll take you pretty far, regardless of your formal education.
Yeah, exactly.
I could definitely appreciate that. I was homeschooled down in Homer from grades 8 through 12, completed high school, and worked in our family business, which was painting houses, and I ended up in an apprenticeship in the painters union and had kind of a similar path. College was never on the, you know, if I'd have brought that up, I'd have been laughed right out the front door. Well, I was working, I was feeding the family or helping, and that's kind of the path I had in life. So I can appreciate where you're coming from there. So now that you've moved from the field into this working in the office, how has that transition gone? And what are some of the duties and things that you've done since you've made that transition? How did that go?
Boy, that's a challenge. I enjoyed working in the field. I told myself on occasion, no matter how bad it got and how rainy it was in Juneau, laying underneath some crusher screen, at least I wasn't in an office behind a desk, right? And now here I find myself. So that's just my role, but that's not the role of most operating engineers. But what has been enjoyable for me is the vast amount of people that I've been able to meet and hopefully help mentor going through our apprenticeship program. People come from all walks of life, and it doesn't really matter where you come from. You can be successful if you carry those traits that we were speaking of with work ethic and safety. And the ability to show up on time.
Mm-hmm.
You're really not going to make it at all if you're not early on the job site every day consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So it did take some adjusting to live the office life. But overall, it's been a great experience for me.
And so what are your duties exactly? How does that work? How did you start out once you came into the office, and what are you doing now exactly?
Sure. So I taught health and safety classes for a while.
Okay.
And took some time to become an instructor in all the different disciplines that are out there with fall protection and first aid and CPR and minor safety and health training. The list goes on and on. I did that for a couple years, which was great. made me rounded in that element. And then I transitioned into being the apprenticeship coordinator. So now my primary role is to go out and recruit and get some exposure to the schools and to the community in general, and try to find interested young people that are looking for careers and show them the pathway and how to get involved in our program, or for that matter, other programs. Not everybody's interested in being an operating engineer, mm-hmm. but I never mind sharing with young people the other opportunities that are out there in other trades. So it's an application process to get involved with us, and so I try to share that with as many people as I can, and like I said, show them the pathway and how to apply, mm-hmm. and give them some advice on perhaps interviewing skills and what to expect when they're interviewed. And then the process begins. When they come into our program, if they get accepted, they're going to spend 11 weeks with us doing a highly intensive training program in Palmer, 8 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, where they go through the entire gamut of what it means to be a heavy equipment operator or mechanic. And they'll go through a weekly rotation where every week they're introduced to a new equipment group, and they're evaluated by their instructors. I get to sit down with everybody on Monday afternoons and talk about their previous week's performance. And then we move on. And when they complete that training, that initial 11 weeks, they're now eligible for a job dispatch. And that's where things get exciting for them, because they get to go to work. They get to start making the big bucks. And they could potentially be dispatched anywhere throughout the state of Alaska, just like I was when I was an apprentice. And after that, then I get to spend most of my summers going around and checking in on people and talking to contractors and see how people are performing and how their skills are advancing. When the summer season comes to an end, then we bring people back in for what we call skills upgrade training in Palmer, so that we can continually work on improving ourselves and our skill sets, so that they become more and more eligible for more and more tasks in the field.
Now, your skills upgrade training, is that for apprentices and journeymen, or is that just part of the apprenticeship training?
It's for both. I appreciate you bringing that up, Bronson. Our training center is open to all of our members, so you have to be an operating engineer to be eligible to take training there, and you have to be in good standing. But, you know, I'll give you an example. We've had a couple mechanics here in the last few years that have worked 25 or 30 years, and they may still have 5 or 10 years left to go, but they're really tired of busting their knuckles working on cranes, and they decide they want to become a crane operator. Well, being an operating engineer who's in good standing with the union, they're eligible for all the training that we offer because they've been paying into it through their fringe package for as long as they've been working. And so they can come out and they can go through the crane progression program and become crane operators themselves. That's just one example. Another one might be, you know, finish motor grader operators and all the new technology with machine controls. A lot of guys out there are finished blade hands or finished dozer hands, but maybe aren't up on the new machine control and GPS technology, so they'll come to the training center so that they can get that under their belt, so that they can take they'll be more diverse going into the following season.
That is absolutely outstanding and good information. So a couple of things I want to circle back around to the application process for the apprenticeship. But before I do, before we go any further, what is the starting wage? You mentioned that after 11 weeks of training, they can get their first dispatch and make the big bucks. So just for anybody listening out there, roughly, what is a starting apprentice operator going to make when they get that first dispatch?
Yeah, great question. Money matters, right? Some people say it doesn't, but
it does matter.
I want to know what I'm going to make when I go to work. Sure. So most people are starting right around $25 an hour on their paycheck, okay? But what we have to remember is, being operators and mechanics in Alaska, we work a lot of overtime. And when we're working overtime, that's going to be time and a half. So that number goes up to closer to $40 an hour. And in addition to that, you have what we call the fringe package, which covers your pension and your health and welfare, And that package is over $20 an hour for an operating engineer right now, Bronson. So what that means is, as a first-year apprentice, you're starting out at really over $46 an hour for your full package. And what I always tell our guys and gals is, you know, think about it. For your limited skill set just starting out, a contractor's paying over $46 an hour for you straight time. You know, what do you think they're going to expect in return? Mm-hmm. Absolutely better be showing up on time and giving it your all and listening and learning every day, because you are not a cheap investment for them either. So that's why we really strive to find the best of the best for our program. And then as you progress through the program, every 1,000 to 1,200 hours, you're going to get a pay increase between 5 to 10%. It varies depending on whether you're an operator or a mechanic in our program. But the operators program requires 6,000 hours of on-the-job training, at which point you graduate, and now you're making full journeyman scale of over $40 an hour. And the mechanics program we've lengthened a couple years ago. It's now an 8,000-hour program. And so they're, because of that, their wage progression is slightly different.
Sure.
They've got a larger investment to make out of the gate with all the tools that they need to show up to a job site with. And so we actually start them at 65% to help them out a little bit more. And then they're in the apprenticeship program longer. So we've adjusted the wage rates to reflect that length of time.
Interesting. So there's a graduated wage scale as you progress through the program. So as you work a certain number of hours, your wage will go up, and you have a 6,000-hour program for operators and an 8,000-hour program for mechanics. Did I get that right?
That's right.
And you mentioned a percentage, and is that a percentage of a journey person's wage that you're referencing there? You said 65%, I think, was like the starting wage. So that's 65% of what a journey level worker makes?
That's absolutely correct.
And what is a journeyman operator making roughly?
There are several different contracts out there.
Sure.
But it's right around roughly $42 an hour right
okay.
now.
Okay. And mechanics is in the same ballpark?
Yeah, they make they have a little bit more with tool allowances, and depending on how long they've been a mechanic, they can get a bump here and there, but it's relatively close, yeah.
Gotcha. So if you're working full time, it's approximately 2,000 hours a year. So a 6,000-hour program, the shortest time you would be likely to complete it would be about 3 years. An 8,000-hour program would be about 4 years. Construction is cyclical by its nature, particularly in Alaska. And so for those of you out there considering one of these programs, keep that in mind. You may not always work 2,000 hours every year, but you're looking at 3 or 4 years for one of these programs,
yeah,
typically.
Yeah, even up to 5, Bronson. We tell people to plan
totally
on 3 to 5 years. Generally speaking, our mechanics, they work so much in the summer, and then they need to maintain equipment in the winter as well, that sometimes they can finish an 8,000-hour program as quickly as an operator can in 6,000.
Oh, interesting. So
yeah,
much overtime.
Yeah, generally gotcha. Speaking, they work a lot more hours than the operators
sure.
do.
Well, we don't need to get into how long it took me to complete my apprenticeship, but let's just stick with the hours. We don't need to talk about years. Well, let's do talk about the application process. I would like to kind of dig into that a little, because I think this podcast, you know, today we have an opportunity to really get some valuable practical information out there to the community, particularly folks that might be looking to start a career in a really good trade and a really great program. So what do they do? How do we start this process?
Yeah, great question. The first step is to fill out an application. Now, our program is a little unique in that we only accept applications once a year.
Okay.
And the reason for that is everything that we do revolves around the summer construction season. And we have to bring people in and get them trained and ready to go, basically by the time that road restrictions come off in the late spring and contractors are mobilizing equipment to job sites and getting ready to roll. That's when we want our people essentially graduating from their initial training and being ready to go to work. So the dates vary slightly, but we generally open up this application period for 3 weeks. And this is, You want to have it on your calendar because it's critical that you get in your app within that time frame. So for us this year, it's going to be August 19th through September 6th. You can get our application online, or you can pick it up in person at our training center. You're going to complete the application and turn it in full. And when I say in full, that means all the required documents. So the common stuff like birth certificate and driver's license. But we also require a background check, driving record that shows the last 5 years of your driving history, as well as we require that you do not have a DUI within the last 3 years, and you're 18 years old with a high school diploma or GED. If you meet those requirements and you turn in your application in full, you are guaranteed an interview. Our interviewing committee goes around the state in October. You come in for your interview. What you can expect is a panel of generally four interviewers. It's going to be you in the room with them, and they're going to ask you a series of scripted questions. Everybody who interviews, whether it's 50 people or 300 people that year, you get the exact same questions. And so what I advise people is stick out. You know, you want to stick out to this interviewing committee. You want to show your sincere interest because they're trying to determine who they think is going to be a good investment for our organization. So they're going to ask you things about your background, what you've done for work before, and why you want to be an operating engineer. So those are some questions you want to give some thought to before you ever walk into that room.
That's really good information. So you mentioned people can apply online or in person at the training center. Really quick, what is the website, or what would they Google if they wanted to find the website?
Yeah, thanks. You can find us by Googling Alaska Operating Engineers, but the actual website is www.aoeett.org. It's kind of a funny acronym, but it stands for Alaska Operating Engineers Employers Training Trust. And on that website, you'll find a drop-down menu or an apprenticeship tab that'll run you through all the specifics that I just kind of highlighted, the documentation that you should start rounding up, when the interviewing dates are going to be, so on and so forth. A lot of good info on there.
Thank you. And where exactly is the training center if they wanted to come pick up an application in person?
Great. So we've got training centers in both Fairbanks and Palmer. The physical address in Palmer is 5400 North Cunningham Road. We're off of Palmer Fishhook on a 162-acre facility. We've been there for about 7 or 8 years now. It's great. It gives us plenty of room to stretch out and run all of our equipment. And in Fairbanks, you're going to go to the Union Hall, and where we've also got an apprenticeship office, and they could give you an application there as well.
Okay. Both of those places should be pretty easy to find, just Google searching Operating Engineers Alaska. And again, that website is aoeett.org, and all the information and a prospective applicant would need could be found there.
Yep.
Outstanding. So is there any questions that an applicant should be prepared for? So you said everybody gets asked the same questions. I don't expect you to give us verbatim the list here, but what is the general, what sort of things could generally someone expect to be asked or asked about?
Yeah, couple pieces of advice would be, how can you relate to the work that you're expressing interest in? You're interviewing to become an operator or a mechanic. What is it about your background that relates to that? How can you convince that committee that this is something you really want to do? If you tell them you want to be a heavy equipment mechanic, but working on snow machines and four-wheelers and the like are not one of your hobbies, or all you've ever done is, you know, worked at Target, good for you for working and for holding down a job, but how does that relate to our industry? And without getting into the apprenticeship, it can be difficult to get related training or work history, but show interest. You know, maybe you helped mom or dad with a skid steer around the yard, or maybe you just packed material from one place to another in a wheelbarrow, or maybe you were a flagger on a job site. Something that can show that, hey, I'm not afraid to use my hands. I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm interested in doing this. And if they like the person that's sitting there in front of them interviewing, if you can help them score you higher in those areas, that's what you need to do. So sometimes you need to stretch your imagination a little bit to make it work, but you need to express interest and hopefully show that you do have some background that's related to it, even if you weren't actually making a paycheck, but you were doing something around the house, or hobbies are inclusive of the type of work that you're going to be doing. Something else is to kind of do a little soul searching and look at yourself and figure out what it is about you that's going to make you stand out compared to the competition. Because I'll let out a little secret here. You know, you're going to get the same questions like we mentioned as everybody else, but at the end of your interview, you're going to be given the opportunity to tell that committee what it is about you that makes you better than the rest of the competition that they're going to be talking to throughout their weeks of interview. And that's really your golden opportunity to get up on the soapbox and sell it. You know,
nice.
be proud of yourself.
Nice.
And that's when you need to stick out. That's what they need to recall and say, hey, you remember that individual that said, you know, they're going to work harder than anyone else that would be interviewing that day. They're going to work safer. They're going to be around longer. This is what they plan on doing their whole lives. So that's your opportunity, is dig deep, realize why you want it, what you want out of it, and be able, prepare yourself to verbally express that at the end of the interview.
Nice. That's really great information. That's some good things to think about for anybody looking to get into this program, and I think is a really valuable path. And if somebody is interested in getting into the trades and doing this equipment work, this would definitely be a wonderful way to pursue that. Is there any general summaries or thoughts, anything you'd like to share before we wrap up this morning? I think we've kind of hit on some of the high points we wanted to talk about, which is the program mechanics and how to apply for it and what to expect. Is there anything that we missed or that you would like to add?
Oh, I think in conclusion, just be prepared to commit to this fully and understand the sacrifices that are involved. When you come on board with us, we're asking that you're going to be ready, willing, and able to go to work anywhere in the state of Alaska at any time. You have to know that we're signatory with over 200 different contractors, and when they call me looking for help, a lot of times I call an apprentice and I say, hey, I need you to the airport tonight. You're going to Bethel. Okay, mm-hmm. How long, Adam? I may not even know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. It might be all summer. And mm-hmm. that is a sacrifice. But with all sacrifices come big rewards. And the reward with us is you've got a promising career. You'll learn skills that can literally help you provide for yourself and your family your entire life. You'll have great medical care. You'll have a terrific retirement. But it does come at a sacrifice, and it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people just can't justify being away from their families for weeks and weeks on end, or possibly an entire summer. But if you can commit to that, you can do a lot better in the construction trades right now than you can in a lot of other places. So, you know, that's be mentally prepared and be sure that it's something that you're ready to do and you want to do. And if it is, it can be extremely rewarding. A lot of our members highlight that one of their favorite things is to be able to go travel throughout the state, maybe with their families, and point at roads and bridges that they help construct and say, hey, I was a part of that. I did that. That's pretty neat stuff. You know, being able to make an honest day's wage for an honest day's work, that is rewarding at some root level.
Definitely.
So by all means, explore the careers and choose one that you think would be rewarding for you, and full steam ahead. Give it everything you got.
And regardless of career, I think the point you made about commitment is super important, particularly when it comes to these apprenticeship programs, because it is a big commitment on the part of all of the parties. The employer's making a commitment to see that you're trained on the job every time a journeyman slows down to teach you something. You know, that's a actual price that's being paid for that time. The union, the apprenticeship trust, that's a commitment of tens of thousands of dollars over the course of your career in training cost and, you know, everything that comes with that. And there is a real commitment on the part of the participant, the employee or the apprentice in this case. They're really looking for folks that want a career. This is more than a summer job. And it's really a combination of all three of those parties being committed to each other and to this program, to being safe, to being efficient, and to really knowing having the skills that makes it work. And so I appreciate you bringing that up. The last thing I want to just hit again, the dates this year to apply are August 19th through September 6th, 2019. Is that correct?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, good. So we'll try to get this podcast out soon, since those dates are coming right up. And you only open the program once a year.
Once a year.
Which is not uncommon. That's actually a way that a lot of the apprenticeship programs work. So if you're interested in getting into the trades, you've got an opportunity right around the corner, August 19th through September 6th. You can get more information at the website aoeett.org. And hopefully you will have the opportunity to meet my friend Adam Ferguson in person and start an apprenticeship in the operating engineers, Local 302. So anything you want to add, Adam, otherwise?
Appreciate you having me in here today, Bronson.
Awesome. I appreciate you making the time and driving into town. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.